All right, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 17, Exodus chapter 17. Thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. And like Brother Gary said, pray for pastor as he's away. He is basically at a church in the middle of a cornfield right now in Eaton, Ohio. It's actually the church that my wife grew up in. The nice thing about it, about a mile away, is a place called Skyline Chili. How many of you have never been to Skyline Chili? How many of you have been to Skyline Chili? How many of you, that was a life-changing experience for you? All right. They've got these little conies, these little cheese conies that are just amazing. Okay, I'm not going to dwell on that long. Pray for Pastor. He's preaching right now, so pray for that meeting and the church there, and that would be great. He said they've had a great meeting thus far as souls being saved, lives being changed, and pray for his return as well. He'll be flying out tomorrow morning out of Dayton, Ohio. Hopefully he can make it out of Dayton, flying into Charlotte, so hopefully all goes well with that. So pray for Pastor as he travels. We'll begin reading here in just a minute in Exodus chapter 17, and we'll look at just a few verses. We'll look at verses 8 through 12. We'll get to that here in just a minute. I would like to wish my wife a happy birthday. Mickey Archer, happy birthday today. I think somebody said Joy Armstrong's birthday is today. Anybody else have a birthday today? Okay, great. Well, happy birthday, especially to my wife. So thankful for my wife, our family, and all that God has done for us and given us the privilege to work here. Alongside of such a great church family. And tonight, I want to draw your attention to a few men that are given in this particular passage and how their response was to leadership, specifically their God-appointed leadership, referring to Moses, as far as how they treated Moses, how they took care of Moses, how they helped Moses, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. But let's read beginning in verse number 8 of Exodus chapter number 17, and we'll read down to verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the mountain, on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as he... as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the privilege to open your word, and we pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to take this message, to apply it to our lives. And again, Father, we do pray for our pastors. He's preaching right now as well in Ohio. Just fill him with thy spirit. I pray that you'll just work in both of these services. Work in the cadet service. I pray that you'll be with Brother John as he leads that, and all the workers as well. And just do great and mighty things here tonight. Thank you for these folks who have come tonight on this cold, snowy evening. I pray that you just bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do ask that you please pray for me. I'm having some issues with my throat. That's why I've been having to keep my top button unbuttoned quite a bit lately. I'm not trying to look like a slob or anything like that, but just having some issues with my throat. So I honestly would greatly appreciate your prayers regarding that. As far as introduction is concerned, here in this chapter we see a battle taking place. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Just want to give you some simple thoughts and then some practical thoughts at the end. But we do see a battle taking place. This battle is between the Amalekites and the Israelites, but it began long before this particular point in time. You see, the Amalekites were the descendants of Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau. And obviously, we understand that this war started all the way back in Genesis chapter 27, when Jacob tricked his father Isaac and stole his brother Esau's blessing and his birthright. You know, as the Israelites face this battle, as they are in the midst of this battle, our attention is drawn to a few specific men in this particular passage. You don't see a lot of people mentioned here. You just see a couple names mentioned. You see Amalek and the Amalekites mentioned. You see the Israelites mentioned. You see Aaron and Hur. You see Moses. You see Joshua. But again, I'd like to take just a few minutes to draw your attention to these specific individuals given here. Joshua, this is the first mention of him in the Word of God. We see that he was appointed by Moses. Moses said, "Joshua, I want you to be the leader as far as leading the army in the battle." He said, "I want you to choose some men. You and those men go and fight. You are going to be the ones on the front lines with the quote-unquote hand-to-hand combat," whatever the case might be. Okay? Aaron and Hur found their place and fulfilled their responsibility in the midst of this battle as well. But here's the thing. Their place in this battle was not alongside Joshua. Their place in this battle was alongside their leader, Moses. For the next several minutes, again, let's take a look at the lives of these men and the roles that they assumed in these five verses. We've got five simple points I'd like to share with you. If you're taking notes, point number one is this. We see an attendance which was personal. We see some men who understood the fact that their attendance in this particular situation was absolutely important. This attendance was personal. We see this in verse number 10. Again, the Bible says, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Aaron and Hur would not have been able to help had they been absent. And that's a very simple thought, a very simple truth. But understand this, God has a great work going in this church. God has a great work going in this area. God has a great work going in this world. And if we don't get involved in it, we can't be a help. Here, in this particular situation, Aaron and Hur understood the fact that if they were going to be an assistant to Moses, their God-given leader, they needed to be there. They needed to be present. This was not a time for excuses. This was not a time to just bow out and say, "Hey, you know, Moses, you can take care of this on your own." They had to be present. And if we take that thought, we can apply that in so many different ways. But they were present and they stood in the place that God had for them. And as a Christian, God has a place for every single one of us. Your place might be at your workplace, in your school. There's so many different areas of our life that we can apply this thought to. But God has something for every single one of us to do. The question is, are we doing what God wants us to? Obviously, my wife and I work with teenagers basically every day. And so often it's a battle encouraging teenagers, trying to get them to understand that they have a place working in this local church. They have a place, a part in trying to fulfill the Great Commission just as much as anyone else. And if we can get teenagers to understand that at a young age, how much different would their lives be later in life when they become adults, when they're actively involved in the workplace and so forth? Every single one of us must take full responsibility for the duties that God has given us, and we must do them to the best of our ability. Aaron and Hur said, "Lord, I realize that my position is not beside Joshua, it is beside Moses at this time. It is beside the man of God to help him, to assist him, and to aid him in whatever he needs help with." These men were men that Moses could count on. They had proven their loyalty long before the thick of the battle. Moses didn't just simply choose them out of a crowd of people not knowing anything about them before, but they had proven themselves. They had proven themselves loyal to their leader. Just like each of these men, we too have a place that God has given us. Just think about this thought in relation to church attendance. Honestly, so many times we look at church attendance and coming here to this church on a Sunday evening, on a Wednesday evening, for Sunday school, for Sunday morning, and a lot of times we're guilty of the mindset of, "I have to go to church." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of "I have to," but it's more of a matter of "I get to." God has given us the privilege to be here tonight. And by the way, thank you for being here. I know it's cold outside. I know it's been snowing and all this kind of thing. But thank you for being here tonight. God is honored when we are being faithful. It's not a punishment to be here. It is truly a privilege, and we should thank God for that. There are people all around this world who wish they could be in a place like this. You go on a mission trip. How many of you have been on a mission trip to another country that might be considered less fortunate than us? Many of you have. And I guarantee God has used those particular trips to work on your heart about how good we have it here. People that are walking for miles and miles and miles, perhaps with no shoes on, just to get to a church meeting. People who may not even have a church to meet in, they're simply meeting just in their home with maybe a partial copy of the Word of God, who wish they had something like this. We must see this as a privilege to be here tonight. And any time we can be in God's house, we should be thankful for it. Now, I'll be honest with you. Are there times in my life where I would rather possibly be somewhere else? I guarantee every single one of us would say yes. Okay, there's times when we wake up not feeling well, or whatever the case might be. We should thank God for the privilege to be here. I'll never forget a few years ago, we had a youth rally here at our church, and the special speaker had a question and answer time with the teenagers and with the youth workers. And as we're sitting there, I'm trying to get some teens to ask questions. So I thought, hey, I'll ask the first question. Okay, I'll be the leader in this. So I asked the speaker. I said, and he was talking about encouraging leadership, encouraging your pastor. What can you do as a teenager in your local church? I asked him. I said, what is the best way for us to encourage our pastor? And honestly, I was waiting for this long, drawn-out answer and ready to take notes and all this stuff. And he said, the best way to encourage your pastor, the best way to get involved in your church, the best way to encourage other leadership in your church, teenagers, just be here. And may I say the same thing to this church family tonight. Just be here anytime the doors are open. By the way, I understand I'm speaking to the cream of the crop tonight. Those who are faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, thank you for being here. But please don't let that slack off in your life. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be here no matter what is going on. These men understood the fact that they needed to be there. There was a battle taking place. They didn't make excuses. They didn't say, hey, you know, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines. No, they wanted to do whatever God wanted them to do. And at this point, it was encouraging the man of God. Again, let's all do our part to be faithful, not just when we can fit church into our schedule, but all the time. And you see this more and more and more. This as younger generations come up and up and up, you see just a lack of desire to be involved in church. And again, we must understand the fact that God wants us to be here. The Bible says in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to be here. God wants us here. Continue to stay faithful. And I'm so thankful for principles like this that have been pumped into my life, my whole life. So thankful for a mom and dad who raised us in a Christian home. So thankful that not only did they emphasize the importance of going to church, but they emphasized the importance of why we should be there. They emphasized the importance of why we should respect authorities and uplift our pastor and get involved in the work of God. And I'm thankful for a mom and dad who, again, didn't just take us to church, but they were excited to be at church. They were excited about Vacation Bible School. They were excited about prayer meetings. They were excited about mission conferences. They were excited about the work of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. And by the way, if you're here tonight, maybe you say, you know, I didn't have the opportunity, the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. You can do something about that for a future generation. Maybe you're here tonight and you have had that privilege. Thank God for that. Thank God for the opportunity to understand the importance of serving God faithfully, serving God with enthusiasm. You know, we had Stephen Carrier come and speak to the teens the other night. And I told them after he spoke in our truth program how exciting it is seeing this young man's enthusiasm to serve God. We need more of that. We need people who are excited about reaching souls for Jesus Christ. We need people who are excited about doing something for God. Looking back at Aaron and Hur, was their position something that was greatly sought after as far as other people? Not really sure, probably not. But they understood the fact that they needed to be faithful. They needed to be present in the midst of this battle. And they were there for a specific purpose. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. Listen, I hope you have a desire to encourage your pastor, okay? And again, just I'll be talking about that quite a bit this evening. This is something that I think God has laid in my heart. But I hope you encourage your pastor. Be faithful. Be faithful to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be faithful to every night of mission conference coming up in just a few weeks. Be faithful to revivals. Again, this is just one way to encourage our pastor. Be faithful to ladies' meetings. Obviously, pastor's not going to be there, but his wife will. And that's one way you can encourage pastor through encouraging his wife. All this talking about encouraging the leadership that God has put in our lives. Aaron and Hur had an attendance which was personal. They knew that they had a duty to do. Number two, we see an awareness which was perceptive. This is in verses 11 and 12. Let's take a look there. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Again, number two, we see an awareness which was perceptive. We should always be aware of our surroundings. As we are serving God, we should be aware of things that need to be done. We should be aware of people around us who might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we're at the gas station, as we're at a restaurant, whatever the case is, we need to be ready to hand somebody a gospel tract, to tell them about the Lord. And by the way, there's far too many times in my life where I have failed in this matter. But we should be aware of our surroundings, especially in the midst of a battle. We see, I can't help but think about an illustration. My dad obviously taught us a lot of lessons as kids growing up. Things to do, things not to do. One thing I'll never forget, Dad, one night at our little house in Goshen, Ohio, near Cincinnati, he turned off all the lights. He said, "Okay, boys, come here. Me and my two brothers." He said, "Come here. All the lights are off." He said, "I want you to find your way through the house with the lights off." I'm like, "What are you doing? What's the point of this?" He wanted us to be aware of our surroundings in case of a fire, in case of an emergency or things like that. No matter where we went, he always trained us to think in our minds, okay, where are the exits at? What, if an emergency were to happen, what's the easiest way to get out of this particular place? So he had the lights turned off in our house. He had us kind of walk through the house with our eyes closed even so we couldn't see anything at all, feeling along the wall. Okay, here's the couch. Here's the door frame. Here's this and this and this. He wanted us to be aware of our surroundings. Again, in case of an emergency. Well, as a Christian, we should be aware of our surroundings, okay, spiritually speaking. We should be aware of, obviously, the battle that is around us. We should be aware of the fact that Satan is constantly trying to attack us, and we need to be ready in those difficult times, in those times of battle. We shouldn't just be present, but we should be aware of what's going on. We should be an observant servant. Look for ways to get involved. Many of you are Sunday school teachers. Many of you are bus captains. Many of you are serving in positions. I'd encourage you with this. If you're here tonight and you're not actively involved in this church, get involved. There's plenty to get involved in. Again, ladies meeting coming up, the outdoorsman ministry meeting coming up, many other things that all of us can do. We've just got to get involved. So many times, I think people just kind of sit back and wait to be asked to do something, when in all reality, we should just get involved. Just jump in and do something. And if you're here tonight, you say, you know what, I'm not really sure what to do. Come see us. Come see myself, Brother Gary. Come see Pastor when he gets back. We would be glad to get you plugged in somewhere so you can serve in this local church. I'll never forget one of my teachers in college, Brother Mike Fox, just a tremendous Bible teacher. One thing that he emphasized often was, if you see a need, that is your given assignment. If you see something that needs done, then do it. If you see something that needs some help, then take care of it. And I believe Aaron and her understood that in this particular situation. They saw something that needed done. They were looking for a way to be a blessing, to be a help to their God-given leadership. And again, let's involve ourselves in what God is doing. We see number three, an action which was practical. In verse number 12, we won't read it again for sake of time. But the Bible says, they took a stone and put it under him. They understood the fact that their leader, Moses, was getting tired. They understood the fact that as his arms are up in the air, the Israelites are winning. But if his hands came down, the Amalekites started winning. They did not want the enemy to conquer them in this battle, so they realized, hey, something needs to be done. Our leader's getting tired, so they took a stone, they put it under him, they gave him somewhere to sit, they gave him somewhere to quote-unquote rest. By the way, this is quite the 180 from the previous chapter in verse number 4, where we see that the people were so upset because they were thirsty that they were about to stone him. Okay, they're no longer throwing rocks at him. They're no longer, and they didn't actually do that in that particular chapter. But they're no longer complaining against their leader. They're trying to help their leader. Again, they placed a stone under him. Aaron and Hur understood the fact that, hey, unless we help him, he's not going to be able to keep his arms up. Unless we help him, the Amalekites are going to get the victory because he can't keep his arms up by himself for this long. So what did they do? They stepped in. Again, they saw a need, and that was their given assignment in this particular battle. They gave him a seat to help him. They held up the hands of their leader. They realized that if Moses' hands fell, the Amalekites would gain the victory. Not only did they see a need, again, they did something about it. Someone once said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. You know, if Aaron and Hur just simply stood by and did nothing at all, the Israelites would have lost the battle that day. If they would have just simply stood by and said, "Yes, Moses, you look tired." That obviously is true. And if they did nothing about it, shame on them. They would have faced the consequences for that later in life. But they saw the need. They did something about it. They said, "Hey, this isn't much as far as, hey, we're not like Joshua down in the on the front lines of the battle right now. We're not fighting with a sword and a shield and things like that. But what we can do is we can hold up the arms of our leader. We can encourage our leader Moses at this time." Aaron and Hur took action on the need that they saw. This leads us to our next point. Point number four, an allegiance which was persistent. We see this again in verse number 12. Again, did Aaron and Hur get tired? Yeah, I guarantee they were tired. I don't know about you, but when's the last time you just held up your arms for as long as you possibly can to see how long you can hold them up? Okay, it's challenging, honestly. You might be able to keep them up for a couple minutes or so, but then you start aching and things like that. Just imagine not only holding up your arms, but holding up the arm of someone else. I guarantee they got tired, but they did not give up. They did not give up. They kept encouraging this man of God. They kept Moses' arms up, even though they were tired. They did not quit. And by the way, there's never a good time to quit. There's never a good time to quit in the work of God. We must keep going. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight saying, "You know, I can't do what I used to." Listen, I understand. But there's something that every single Christian can do. You can encourage your pastor. You can encourage a Sunday school teacher. You can help to train the next bus captain. You can help to encourage young men and young ladies to get involved in ministries that you used to be involved in. You can pray for several different needs in our church. There's something for every single Christian to do. Point number five, we see an accomplishment which was profitable. We see this in verse number 13. God's people gained the victory in the battle against the Amalekites. Not only was the battle won, but here's a great truth here. Not only was the battle won, there was also a boy that was won. See, what are you talking about? If we look in Exodus chapter 31, you don't have to turn there. But if we were to turn back in Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 2, in this particular passage, we see Bezalel. Bezalel was the son of Hur. Hur, again, one of the men that are holding up the hands of the man of God. Bezalel being his son, he was appointed to oversee the construction of the tabernacle and all of its contents. That tabernacle was and still is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Had Hur given up, had Hur said, "You know, I know Moses needs his arms held up, but I'm just going to stay off to the side and not do anything about it." Had he done that, not only himself, but the next generation, his child, perhaps would have possibly faced the consequences from that, as they would have been possibly defeated by the Amalekites on that particular day in that particular battle. But here's the thing. Hur understood, "Hey, I have a place to stand in. I have an arm to hold for this man of God." And again, not only did it affect him, it affected the next generation. Think about the responsibility that was given to Bezalel. What an honor, what an amazing opportunity. And God had trained them in all these different skills and things in order to do that particular job. And again, it all goes back to the fact that Hur was obedient. Hur understood the fact that he needed to encourage the man of God and stay in his place. Had Hur dropped the ball and not done his part, it would have been a huge effect on the next generation. Again, we've looked briefly at a few thoughts tonight. As far as conclusion, when I say conclusion, I do still have a couple pages left, some of them being just some practical thoughts, how we can encourage our pastor. Understand that my goal tonight is not to uplift a man at all, but to honor God. But understand the fact that as we are, we can honor God by honoring the man of God. I look back here at Preacher Lastly and the many years that he served faithfully in this church and how many folks got behind him and encouraged this man of God. And I guarantee Preacher is grateful for the encouragement that he has received from this church family, and Pastor is as well. And there's more of that can be done. there's more of that can be done by all of us. We must be mindful of the structure and design that God has placed for the local church. God is our shepherd. God is the leader of this church. Pastor is our under shepherd. We are the people that the people that God has given our pastor to shepherd. Something that Pastor Sexton would talk about often, that every single person has a role in the local church. Every single person has a position. And there are two main positions in the church. I understand the fact that there are deacons and there are staff members and so on and so forth. But all that boiling down to the fact that there is a pastor and there are those who are assistants to the pastor. Okay, all of us here tonight should assist our pastor, should look for ways to help him. We are an extension of his hand, an extension of his ministry, and we are here to assist him and help him in all these different things. So let's all do our part to encourage him and to help him with as much as possible. You know, with every message, obviously there's an application. With application, there's immediate and evident action that should take place. As we hear a message from the Word of God, we should say, God, speak to my heart and help me to act on what I've heard. And again, I want to give you a list of several different things that we can act on tonight as far as our church and our relationship with our pastors concerned. Honestly, we live in a day where there's so many people who want to be served, but they're not willing to serve. Again, all of us have something that we can do for God. All of us have something that we can do in our local church. It's just a matter of, are you doing it or not? John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I think the same idea takes place in a church. Don't ask, what can my church do for me? No, ask, hey, what can I do for my church? How can I get involved? How can I do something, even though I can't do what he does or what she does? What can I do in this local church? You know, all of us can do more in this church. All of us can do more in this community. I'm speaking to myself more than anyone. How can I do a better job of upholding the arms of the leader that God has placed over this church? How can I do a better job to encourage my pastor? Just as Aaron and Hur encouraged Moses, they helped him, they assisted him, how can we do that as well? Just several things here. There's actually 21 of these. By no means, you don't have to write them down. But just some practical ways to encourage and assist our pastor. Again, I know this is a little bit different message tonight. Just some practical thoughts, but I hope this will be a help to you. Number one, pray for Pastor and his family. You know, we've talked about, obviously, he's away at a revival right now. I hope you've been praying for him the last couple days. But I hope you'll pray for him daily. You know, most of us have smartphones, and we do a lot of things with our phone. And honestly, this can be a distraction at times. Something that God's laid on my heart, I use reminders often on here. Remind me to do this. Remind me to get this before I go here. Remind me to pick up this from the store. The Lord laid it on my heart a while back. Hey, why not put some prayer reminders on here? So one thing specifically, because honestly, if we don't have a plan, oftentimes we forget about things. I've set up a reminder on my phone, 7 o'clock in the morning, pray for pastor. You know, that might be something that you want to do, something practical. Say, hey, you know, I can do that. I can set up a reminder on my phone. Sometimes I forget to pray for pastor, but that's something that would help me. Pray for pastor, pray for his family, pray for his children. Number two, write them notes of encouragement. Number three, love and encourage his wife and children. Number four, tell him when you're blessed by his preaching. Number five, again, these are all ways to encourage and assist our pastor, the leader that God has placed here. Number four, tell him when you're blessed by his preaching. Number five, be on time for services. Number six, speak kindly to and about him. Number seven, bring your children to talk to him and encourage them to love him. Something that God has laid on my heart is, in the eyes of my children, I want them to see their pastor as a hero. Honestly, there are a lot of people in this world who are looked at as heroic that really don't deserve that spot at all. And I truly believe the man of God deserves that spot in the eyes of my children. My little boys who we're trying to raise up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord need godly examples outside of his parents. And their pastor is a great example for them. I want my kids to have a great relationship with their pastor. I want my kids to understand the fact that if they're having a problem and they need somebody to talk to, if mommy and daddy's not around, they can talk to their pastor about that, and he's going to be willing to help them. So encourage your kids to have a good relationship with their pastor. Number eight, seek and heed his counsel. Maybe you're facing a difficult situation in life. Maybe you're in the midst of a battle yourself and you're not sure what to do. Seek pastor's counsel and heed his counsel as well. Pastor wants to help with these things. Oftentimes he might not know about big decisions or perhaps college or a job or whatever the case might be. And I'd encourage, again, adults, teenagers, children, anyone to seek and to heed pastor's counsel. Number nine, to go forward during the invitation if God speaks to you during a service. Obviously, you're not going forward for pastor, but if God speaks to you, I'd encourage you to move. I'll never forget many times in my life where God has gripped my heart about a particular thing in a message, and it helps me to go forward and to pray about those things. Not only does that help me, I understand the fact that it helps to encourage the man of God as well. Number 10, say amen during messages. Again, you're not saying it for the man who's preaching, but you're saying, I agree with what you're saying, and this is an encouragement. Number 11, serve with enthusiasm. Again, are you excited to serve God? I hope so. Serve God with enthusiasm. Number 12, be faithful to all services, meetings, activities, anything that's going on, be faithful. And again, going back to my parents and the godly influence in our lives, no matter what was going on at our church, they said, hey, we're going to be there. We're going to be there for any activities, anything that we can possibly be there for. We are going to be there for those things. So be faithful. Number 13, bring others to church. Number 14, be a tither and give sacrificially. Number 15, win souls. By the way, all these things are taken from a booklet that Dr. Clarence Sexton has put out entitled, I think it's Encouraging God's Man. Be faithful to all services, bring others to church. 15, win souls. Number 16, have a forgiving spirit. Number 17, make problems smaller and move beyond them. Often when preparing for mission trips and ministry trips and things like that with the teenagers, we encourage them. Obviously, anytime you have a group of that many people traveling somewhere this far away from home, you're going to have problems. But leaders make problems smaller. And the same thing is true in a church family. Maybe there's a problem going on. Let's all do our part to make those problems smaller. This is another way, to encourage and help our pastor. Number 18, remember special occasions in his and his family's life. I hope you help pastor celebrate his birthday, help his wife, their anniversary, their kids. This is another way, and a simple way, honestly, to encourage him. But this little bit of encouragement goes a long way. By the way, you can call the church office for these dates, for pastor's birthday, for his wife's birthday, for their kids' birthdays, for their anniversaries. This is all a way to be an encouragement to them. Number 19, don't give an ear to criticism. Number 20, don't go to pastor in anger. Number 21, keep him informed. If you're having a surgery, if there's a death in your family, whatever the case is, he wants to know these things. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to bother him with that. No, pastor wants to be bothered with these things, and it's not a bother to him. He wants to help this church family. Again, just some practical things. And I hope God has used something in this message tonight to speak to your heart. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time, and it's interesting to see how God has continually put this thought in my mind about encouraging the man of God. As Pastor and I were out at Golden State Baptist College just a few weeks ago, somebody taught on this very same thing. In my devotions just yesterday, I was still kind of unsure what God wanted me to preach and speak on this evening, and God had me right in the midst of not this passage, but a parallel passage to this. Again, let's all do our part to encourage the man of God, because we're in the midst of a battle, folks. We're in the midst of a battle where Satan is constantly throwing his fiery darts at us. He wants to destroy our lives, and he especially wants to destroy the life of our pastor. Let's do our part to hold his hands up. Maybe you notice, hey, pastor needs something. Hey, take that stone and set it under him so he can have a seat and rest a little bit. Obviously, referring back to this passage. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, this is something that I haven't really thought about before, but I can do this to encourage pastor. As a family, this is something that we can do to encourage pastor. By the way, Mr. Mineta does a tremendous job with enforcing this with the kids and cadets. You'll see different times throughout the year he has them write notes to pastor, has them write notes to different staff members and things like that. We need more of that. There's plenty of attacks in this world today. Let's do our part as a church family to encourage our pastor. All right? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I know this is a different message tonight. Honestly, more of a teaching than preaching, but I hope that you've taken a truth from the Word of God, and I hope you'll apply it this week. Maybe it's a matter of, hey, you know, I can do this for Pastor. I can do this to encourage him. I know that that when he gets back, he's going to be tired. I can do this. Whatever. I don't know what's in your mind right now, but I do know that he needs more encouragement. And Pastor has not asked for me to preach this. No, he would never do that. I just felt that God laid this on my heart because as a church family, there's a whole lot more that we can do to encourage the man of God that God has placed here. Whatever God's spoken in your hearts about tonight, feel free to come forward if you'd like to. If you'd like to pray in your seat, that'd be just fine. Obviously, we never want to let a service go by without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Obviously, the message tonight has been geared specifically toward Christians, but if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that's the most important decision you can make in life. How many of you would be honest and say, honestly, if I were to die today, I know 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not 50% sure. I'm not 75% sure. I'm not even 99% sure. I'm 100% sure because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not ashamed of it. I'd like for you to raise your hand at this time, please. No one else is looking around. I think you can put your hands down. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, you know, I couldn't raise my hand to that, but I would like to know for sure that heaven's my home. If that's you, please come forward. We'd love to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If there's anything we can help you with, please let us know. As you're seated there tonight, if you say, I'm a Christian, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I hope you'll determine, hey, you know what? I want to do a better job. And many of you are doing a tremendous job with this, honestly. Maybe say, you know, I want to do a better job of encouraging the man of God. I want to do a better job of upholding the hands of my pastor, the leader that God has given to this flock of sheep. Let's all pray and ask God to help us with this. Father, we thank you again for the love you've given us. God, thank you for salvation. God, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the privilege to serve with such a great church family. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to honor you. And Father, help us to do more for you this year than we've ever done before. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Gary.
Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're sing one stanza. If the Lord has spoken, you need to come and pray. Now is your time to do that. Let me sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Good, thank you. You may be seated. Take out your missionary, your prayer list tonight.